Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Surreal Quinn, taking you for the next 45 minutes as we look back at week one of the NFL season. As always, 347-215-6180 is your call number. You can also follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or hit me up at facebook.com/SurrealQuinn. Chat, I am on the chat line for my Blog Talk Radio audience. So any questions, comments that you may have, you can certainly contact me there as well. And we're going to begin with our game of the week. And this was by far and away the best game of the week of the weekend up to this point. Dallas and then the Jets. Dallas falls 27-24. Dallas, a game that, you know, they should have won. I mean, there's no two ways about it. You're up 24-10. You're up 17-7. You're seemingly in total control of the game, but had a rough fourth quarter, outscored 17-0. Tony Romo certainly had a fourth quarter to forget with the fumble, the interception, and Dallas falls. Give the Jets credit. They were there to pick up the pieces. Sanchez, over 300 yards passing, threw the ball 44 times, which certainly is not a recipe that the Jets want to follow moving forward. But sometimes you have to do that, and Sanchez, again, made some big throws when he had to. But, again, this, to me, was all about Dallas and Dallas falling apart. And Dallas is starting to become that team that – finds ways to lose matches. Excuse me, I'm watching Nadal and Djokovic. I say matches, lose games. By the way, Nadal and Djokovic are 6-6. Nadal has broken, and they're going to a tiebreaker, and they should go to a tiebreaker. But anyway, Dallas is becoming that team that finds a way to lose games. They're going to find a way. We know what kind of talent they have. We know what kind of talent Tony Romo has, but they mentally just are not able to keep it together over the course for a full 60 minutes. And it's getting to a point with Tony Romo, whether or not he took a beating today, and rightfully so, or whether or not you wonder if he'll ever become a legit elite quarterback. He's a guy right now that puts up great numbers in the regular season. Great numbers. You know, he's going to throw for around 4,000 yards. He's going to get you 25 to 30 touchdowns. But in a critical moment, when the money's on the table, he is going to make a critical mistake. You're up 24-17. You had the ball at the 5-yard line, inside the 7-yard line with first and goal. Take the field goal. I mean, that's all there is to it. You cannot fumble the football. A field goal is a win-win situation with that field goal. That field goal would have put the game away. You get the turnover, and now all of a sudden you have 80,000 people going crazy, and you breathe life into that stadium, which for the better part of three quarters was dead. So to me, that game was more about the Cowboys blowing it than the Jets winning it. I was not impressed by the Jets. Cowboys did whatever they wanted to with the Jets defense. And they, you know, they are extremely fortunate that Dez Bryant cramped up at halftime. They could not cover Dez Bryant. I mean, there's only one Darrelle Revis. You can't cover Dez Bryant and Romo at the same time, and let alone also Jason Witten, who had a big night. So, you know, the Jets, you know, escaped with one. Hey, they'll take it. It's the NFL. You know, it happens like that. You know, take care of home take care of home field, which the Jets had struggled to do over the last in the Rex Ryan era. And the Cowboys now have to lick their wounds and have to wonder about their quarterback situation. I mean, listen, he's a starter. There's no question. You know, you don't have a quarterback controversy as far as who's the starter. But looking long-term, is Tony Romo a championship-caliber quarterback? And right now, the answer to me is a resounding no. 347-215-6180. That is your call number. When we return, a shocker in Chi-Town and the Chargers being the Chargers. That's coming up on this season premiere of the NFL Show. Back to this latest edition of the NFL Show, Cyril Quinn, as we look back at week one in of the NFL season. New England has just tied up Miami 7-7. So first quarter 7-7, New England has just tied, just went in for a score. Of course, later on tonight, you'll have Denver and Oakland closing out week one of the NFL season. Chicago manhandles Atlanta 30-12. Great day for Jay Cutler, 312 yards passing, a couple of touchdowns, one pick. Tremendous day for Matt Forte, 5 catches, 90 yards, a touchdown. Also had 68 yards rushing on 16 carries and also a touchdown. So he had a nice day on hand. The big story about this game is the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons, in their last two games, have been just destroyed. They've been outscored. They have been outscored 78-32. Of course, they were embarrassed. 78-33. They were embarrassed in the NFC Championship, in the divisional round by the Green Bay Packers at home. And now they come to Soldier Field, not an easy place to play, opening week, and get embarrassed by the Bears. Now, I thought the Bears myself were going to be a little bit better than what people thought they were going to be. Picked them second in the division. I didn't think they were going to be as good as they were last year in terms of winning a division, but I didn't think they were going to be terrible. And I thought they had a chance to have a nice year from the offensive standpoint. But they're not this good. I mean, Atlanta goes down there and just gets manhandled. And I don't know. I mean, you've heard of Super Bowl losers hangover. I don't know. I mean, can you have a divisional loss playoff hangover? I mean, to me, Atlanta is a team that everybody has, that a lot of people have going to the Super Bowl. I'm not one of them, but a lot of big things are hoping for Atlanta. Now, all of a sudden, they find themselves in a place where they could be staring 0-2 right in the face as they will, take on the Eagles and Michael Vick next Sunday night. Bad loss. I mean, just an embarrassing loss for Atlanta, just to go down there and put up that kind of effort. Matt Ryan threw for over 300 yards, 319 yards, but he had to throw the ball 47 times to get there. Michael Turner had 100 yards on just 10 carries. San Diego, 24, Minnesota, 17. Typical classic San Diego, okay? San Diego wins this game by 7 points, right? Have to sweat, basically sweat bullets. And they outgained Minnesota by well over 200 yards. I mean, they had like 40 yards of offense. Minnesota had 187 yards. Philip Rivers had a couple of interceptions, a couple of touchdowns, still threw over 300 yards. Donovan McNabb had 39 yards passing, 7 for 15 for 39 yards. Is he finished? Is Donovan McNabb, that's a question we have to ask now. Is Donovan McNabb done? 39 yards passing. How is that possible? How? How do you only have 39 yards passing in an NFL game? That's something like you hear somehow, like if you're in high school running, a wishbone triple option offense. Where, hey, we're just gonna run the ball. We pass maybe by accident. Regardless, the game was much closer than it should have been. San Diego, as usual, had a special teams blunder with in terms of having a kick over the kickoff return by Percy Arvin. Terrible news for San Diego. Also with the special teams, Nate Chaney is going to be out for the year with a torn ACL, one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history, though he can't make a big one when it counts in the playoffs. Luis Castillo's hurt. How long he'll be out, no one knows yet. So a painful win for the San Diego Chargers. But again, typical San Diego. Dominate from the line of scrimmage, but make the game harder than what it had to be. But this time, they were able to come out on the winning side and start the season out 1-0. When we return, we'll talk Detroit, and also the Michael Vick experience goes to St. Louis. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Rafael Nadal has just taken the third set, 7-3 in the tiebreaker, so now he's down 2-1. Has all the momentum. I don't know if Djokovic is tired. He had the championship on his racket before Nadal broke him. You could be in for an epic match. Okay, that match looks like it's going to go five sets. Again, Nadal has all the momentum right now. They've been playing forever. They're going on 4 hours right now. You're in for a classic. I mean, you're watching a classic, basically, with Nadal. Give Nadal a lot of credit. Didn't quit. It looked like he was out of match. 7-7 in the NFL, Miami, New England. Chad Henne ran for a touchdown. New England tied it up. First quarter, about 2 minutes left. So a lot going on in the world of sports as we look back at this past Sunday's NFL games. Detroit takes out Tampa Bay 27-20. Great win for the Lions. And you want to say, well, how is that a great win? As Djokovic is getting looked at by the trainer right now, just keep our tennis fans updated. Great, it's a great win because you're a team that has all kinds of expectations, okay? You have all kinds of expectations. You're everybody's darlings. You're everybody's picked to be possibly a playoff team, and you live up to that. You go on the road, against a team that in Tampa Bay that won 10 games last year and has an up-and-coming budding star for a quarterback in their own right, and you basically, you know, control the game and able to hold them off 27-20. That's a point of growth. Detroit showed me a lot yesterday with that victory. I thought that could be a tricky spot for them. Matthew Stafford, 24-33, 305 yards, 3 touchdowns, an interception, had some cramps. Rightfully, you know, understandably, it's hot down there. He's not used to playing a whole game anyway because this guy has been injury-prone throughout the course of his career. But very good win for Detroit. Stafford is going to be a star if he can stay healthy. Now, that's a big if, but he has all the tools. He has the arm. He has the makeup to be a big-time quarterback. He really does. It's just a matter of him staying on the field, I feel. Calvin Johnson, 6 catches, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. Josh Freeman was okay. Left the game for a bit with a minor injury. Came back, 28-43, 259, a touchdown, interception. Held Tampa Bay to 56 yards rushing, and again, good performance by Detroit. Anytime you can win a game, opening game on the road, that is a great way to start a season. Philadelphia takes out St. Louis, 31-13. This game was much closer than what the score indicated. This was a 17-10 game midway through the third quarter. St. Louis again caught a couple of bad breaks. Number one, Steven Jackson left the first quarter with a quad injury. He was on his way to having a big game. Had a 47-yard touchdown run, 2 carries, 56 yards, but he left the game with that injury. Not to say that they would have won the game anyway, but who knows? It certainly would have been a little bit closer. Michael Vick, big day out of him, despite the fact that he did not throw the ball well. 187 yards passing on 14-32, 2 touchdowns. Ran the ball, had almost 100 yards rushing, 10 carries for 98 yards. LeSean McCoy, huge day, was the best player on the field. 15 carries, 100, well, maybe along with Vick, was one of the best players on the field. 15 carries, 122 yards, a touchdown. Touchdown run, also had a touchdown reception. Sam Bradford did leave this game with an index finger injury. Looks like he'll be ready to play this week. Steven Jackson probably will be out when they play the Giants, so certainly that's a big loss. Good win for Philadelphia on the road. Again, this was my upset special. I thought it could be a slippery spot opening week against an up-and-coming Ram team. But they had, you know, caused a couple breaks with the injuries also. But Vic did enough. Philadelphia defense had a big turnover with Jaquay Parker's fumble recovery for a touchdown. That was a big play in the game. Also, again, with Steven Jackson leaving out, Philadelphia defense had 5 sacks. Thing that would concern me if I'm a Philadelphia fan, the Rams, despite the fact that they, you know, had over 154 yards rushing, Cadillac Williams, who has been as injury prone as any player in the league over the last 3 or 4 years, had 91 yards on 19 carries. That is a legit concern. I mean, you're going up against a team that doesn't have a great offensive line. They lose their best offensive player in terms of at the running back position, and you're still able to run for that many yards. A little concerning if I'm Andy Reid. Carolina falls to Arizona 28-21. Carolina, Patrick Peterson had an 89-yard punt return for a touchdown. It turned out to be the game-winning touchdown. But, of course, as we all know, the big story in this game was Cam Newton, who set a rookie record, passing record in terms of yardage, making Peyton Manning's record, previous record back in 98. 422 yards. He was 24 of 37, 2 touchdowns and an interception, and was just, you know, off the charts. I mean, I thought that he was going to be completely raw coming into this year. I was not sure about him coming out of college, coming out of that spread offense, and certainly there's still going to be some question marks. I mean, one game does not make the career, but from what I watched in that game, and from some of the plays I saw him make, he could be special. I mean, that's all there is to it. Steve Smith had a great game. Steve Smith showing you flashbacks of a wide receiver that at one point in time was the best receiver in football for a couple of years. He had a tremendous game with 178 yards receiving with 8 catches. But it was all about Cam Newton. And they tried to blitz him. They threw everything at him that you could possibly throw at him, and he had an answer for it. Now, again, it's one game, but, you know, he has the makings, possibly, of something special with that guy. I mean, you really do. That's all it is to it. Sometimes it only takes one game to tell that, you know, this guy might be special. And that's the sense I got. And I'm not an impulsive fan. I'm not somebody who's going to react just off, you know, that kind of, you know, I'm not somebody that just reacts off one game. But I was definitely impressed with what I saw out of him. Kevin Cobb, great, good opening day for him. 18-27, 309 yards, two touchdowns. So Arizona gets the win 28-21. The Arizona defense is horrible, by the way. I mean, they're going to need Kevin Cobb to throw for 300 yards seemingly every game because their defense is atrocious. When we return, the beatdown in Crabtown and Peyton Manning can't come back too soon for the Indianapolis Colts. Is the Andrew Luck sweepstakes are on alert. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. After the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the you know I was going to do it. I mean, come on, you heard the Silicon Review. You know it was bound to happen. Of the NFL Show, season two premiere of the NFL Show, as always, 347-215-6180 is our number. How's your team do? Are you ready to jump off a cliff, or are you booking tickets, hotel reservations for Indianapolis? Pittsburgh fans, I think I know the answer to them. Pittsburgh falls 35-7 to the Baltimore Ravens, a game that I just did not – nobody could have saw this coming. The Ravens, it seemed like, had everything, played this game like it was their Super Bowl, frankly. Great performance by them. Flacco, 17-29, 224, three touchdowns, played extremely well. Baltimore forced seven Pittsburgh turnovers. It's the first time in the career of Joe Flacco that he's beaten Pittsburgh a game where Ben Roethlisberger has started. Roethlisberger again had a game to forget, three interceptions, two fumbles, five turnovers, complete domination. There was nothing good that happened other than when the clock turned, you know, triple zero. There was nothing good that happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game. Ray Rice had a big game, 107 yards rushing, had also a receiving touchdown. Baltimore out rushed Pittsburgh 170-66, and just domination by the Baltimore Ravens. The thing that stood out to me, and Pittsburgh has gotten smacked around a couple times by the New England Patriots in the last 3 or 4 years when they've met up, but that's because, you know, New England spreads them out, throws the ball all over the place. This is the first time I've seen in a long time, I can't remember, maybe Jacksonville did it to Pittsburgh once or twice when they were very good with Fred Taylor and they had, you know, they had some physical teams. I've never seen anybody push Pittsburgh around the way Baltimore pushed Pittsburgh around. I mean, they punched them in the mouth. They did everything. This is what we've become accustomed to Pittsburgh doing to everybody else. Baltimore was their more aggressive team. They were more physical. They out-hit Pittsburgh. It was something to see. It definitely was something to see. Very interesting. It should be an interesting week of practice down there in Pittsburgh. I'm sure. I feel sorry for the Seattle Seahawks because that's going to be third degree murder what the Steelers do to them. But great performance out of Pittsburgh, out of Baltimore. Haloti Naga. Haloti Naga Nagata. I'm just butchering this guy's name, but, you know, that's all right. This guy is the best nose tackle in football right now. He was all over the place. Terrell Suggs was all over the place. But they better get Naga signed immediately. I know they're in contract negotiations right now, but he needs to be signed, like, right now. You cannot let this guy get on the open market. Houston embarrasses – I shouldn't say embarrasses because there's no way Indianapolis was going to win this game. New England is taking a 14-7 lead over Miami in the quarter. Houston takes out Indianapolis 34-7. No surprise. Ben Tate had a big day, 24 carries, 116 yards. Matt Schaub threw for 220 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. Kerry Collins, who had to be wondering why the hell he came out of retirement for this, had three fumbles and a touchdown, 16 and 31 passing. Indianapolis might be the worst team in all football. I mean, seriously, they might be the worst team in all of football. They are that bad. To watch some of that game was just like, huh? I mean, it really made you appreciate Peyton Manning that much more. Peyton Manning probably should have 7 to 8 MVPs. I mean, he really should have about maybe 6 or 7 MVPs based on watching that game. Because that team goes from, say, 9 to 10 wins, 8 to 10 wins, to maybe a 3-win team. They are going to be up there amongst the others. They're going to be in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. There's no question about it. Jacksonville edges out Tennessee 16-14. Good day for Maurice Jones-Drew, 24 carries, 97 yards, a touchdown. Kenny Britt had a big day for Tennessee. Matt Hasselbeck was okay with 263 yards passing, a couple of touchdowns and interception. This is the story of this game. Chris Johnson coming out straight out of training camp, 9 yards, 9 carries, 24 yards. His longest run was 9 yards. They outrushed Tennessee 163-43. That was the difference in the game as Jacksonville gets the win. When we return, the Skins rise up and a shocker in Arrowhead. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. During the changeover, they were still stretching out Novak Djokovic. He's hurt right now. I mean, he's absolutely hurt right now. Certainly, Nadal is looking good despite the fact that he's still down 2-1. But as they show some of the reasons why he's left tournaments, Grand Slam tournaments, due to physical ailments in the past, talking about Djokovic, so, you know, certainly something to keep your eye on over the course of this match there in the fourth set on serve. Nadal is serving right now at 15-love. Buffalo 41-7 over Kansas City. This is the worst home loss, one of the worst home losses in the history of Kansas City, in the history of the Chiefs organization, opening day losses home-wise. Just a shocking game from the standpoint of that, you know, this basically was a pick'em game going into it. But for Buffalo to come out there and just dominate Kansas City in Kansas City, good performance by them. But it also tells you something about Kansas City maybe going in another direction. Remember, Kansas City made it to the playoffs last year, shocked everybody. Matt Castle had a big time year. Jamal Charles had a great year. Was not the case yesterday. Castle was horrible. 22-36, 119 yards, an interception. Fitzpatrick played great, 17-25, four touchdowns. Fred Jackson, 20 carries, 112 yards. Buffalo is one of those teams. Now, they're not going to do anything in that division because, you know, you're in with the Patriots and the Jets. But they are one of those teams that are going to be a tough team to deal with week in and week out. They play hard every week, and they have some weapons offensively. They really do. I mean, with the running backs, with Fred Jackson, DJ Spiller, you know, Steve Johnson is an underrated receiver. Brian Fitzpatrick has played well last year and continued that late yesterday. Very interesting team to watch. Again, I can see them being, you know, 7-9, 6-10, but they're going to be a tough 7-9, 6-10. Washington doubles up the Giants 28-14. The Giant offense held scoreless in the second half. Two stories about this game. Number one, the Washington defense was tremendous in the second half. I mean, again, I told you they were all over the place, had Eli running for his life, especially in that fourth quarter. Held the Giants to 75 yards rushing. Eli was average at best, 18-32, 265 interception, no touchdowns. Also gave away 6 points basically with the tip play by Kerrigan. Great play by Kerrigan. Ryan Kerrigan is going to be a player in this league. He made just a tremendous play on that interception return for the touchdown. Number one, he avoids a cut block. He tips the pass, returns it, catches it, and returns it for a touchdown. So he really did four things in that one play, which gave the Redskins 21-14 lead. Giants had a critical critical penalty that extended a Redskins drive, a drive that the Redskins would finish off with a Rex Grossman touchdown pass to Jabari Gaffney. Grossman was good. This was good Rex yesterday. Grossman, 21-34, 305 yards passing, two touchdowns. No interceptions. Did have a stupid fumble, which he has a tendency to do at times, but it resulted in a blocked field goal. Listen, give the Redskins credit. They looked tight at the beginning, kind of regrouped. They had they kind of answered the Giants. Every time the Giants hit them, they responded. When the Giants got up 7-0 or 14-7, Redskins had an answer. Played well enough to win and get off to a 1-0 start. Now, keep in mind, the Giants did have had a bunch of stars missing on defense, including their two best pass rushers in Umanora and of course, the great Justin Tuck. So, nothing to get too crazy, too excited about if you're a Redskins fan. But, hey, 1-0 beats 0-1 any day. Redskins will take it as they will move on to play Arizona next week. Giants, of course, will host St. Louis at home next week and hope on Monday night, and hopefully start to get healthy. When we return, I'll tell you, look back on week one, give you some of my thoughts, and also look ahead to week two's action. We'll be right back. to this latest edition of the NFL Show. Djokovic trying to break Nadal has blown a couple of break points. They are in the fourth set on serve right now. Is their deuce. New England has taken a lead on Miami 14-7. So there you go with the tennis and also the football. This Djokovic Nadal match is turning to it. It's going to turn into an epic match. I mean, that's all there is to it. These two, Djokovic is not going to give in. Nadal, you know, is not going anywhere. So certainly, you know, if you're a tennis fan, you have to keep your eyes on this match as Djokovic will have another break point. He's had 24 break points on Nadal's serve, which is just remarkable. Very uneventful week one. Make no mistake about it. I'm overjoyed that we have football. I mean, there was a time in maybe June or May, late April, early May, where I was thinking that it might not be any football. So I'm happy that there is football. But, you know, that Jet-Dallas game really saved the weekend, to be honest with you. You know, you had Pittsburgh getting smashed around. You had Atlanta getting embarrassed. The Philly-St. Louis game could have been better, but, you know, Steven Jackson leaves. Bradford, it leaves Bradford. You know, Jets, the Giants-Redskins, you know, pretty good game. But, you know, Djokovic is just broken. But, you know, those two teams, we know the Redskins are not a Super Bowl team, and I don't think the Giants are as good as they have been in the past couple of years. So kind of an uneventful weekend. I mean, some of the best games in a weekend or the week were teams who, you know, didn't make the playoffs. I mean, Detroit-Tampa. You had, of course, Cincinnati-Cleveland. Like, you know, who cares about that being a close game? So, you know, Carolina-Arizona, though you did have Cam Newton. So, uneventful, not a big weekend of football. Not a lot of quality football played, not a lot of great games. You know, a couple surprises here and there. If there are two things that stood out, one, of course, is the Cam Newton's performance, which is by far and away the performance of the week as far as I'm concerned. Rookie quarterback going in and, you know, handling his business the way he was able to do with the 422 yards passing. And two, the beatdown that the Pittsburgh Steelers the Baltimore Ravens handed to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Certainly a statement made by the Baltimore Ravens. I thought a game that the Ravens had to have for their own psyche, not for so much playoffs and standings, just to feel good about themselves. Steelers have owned the Ravens. They absolutely have owned them. Roethlisberger had, was 9-2 coming into that game against them, undefeated in the playoffs. It was a game that the Ravens needed to have, and, you know, they played like it. And so I still would not be too concerned if I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Still, you know, they're still in pretty good shape. Tomlin will certainly right that ship. Looking ahead to next week, a couple of big-time matchups. Number one, San Diego and New England. Of course, these two met in the AFC Championship a few years back. San Diego played extremely well in that game against that New England team that was undefeated going into Super Bowl, when, of course, the Giants took them out. Rivers playing on one leg, LaDainian Tomlinson injured as well. San Diego needs to stand up to New England. I mean, they've had trouble with the Patriots in the regular season the last couple of years. Need to stand up. They need this. San Diego needs, you know, it would be a huge victory for San Diego to go to New England and beat them. So I'll be very, you know, keep your eyes on New England. They certainly have, the talent to take out New England. That'll be a grand to watch. Now, of course, all eyes will be on Sunday night. Philly and Atlanta. Michael Vick returns to Atlanta for the first time since, of course, he was for the first time since 2006, his last season in Atlanta before he went to jail. That will be a electric atmosphere because for two reasons. Obviously, because it's Vick's return, but also there's starting to be a little bit of pressure on Matt Ryan. Now, I think personally, Matt Ryan's taking too much heat. Okay, for a fourth year starting quarterback, he's not in his eighth, ninth, tenth year. He's in his fourth year. He's still developing as a player. I understand he's 0-2 in the playoffs and what have you, but, I mean, give him a little time to develop. The guy is, what, 26 years old, 25, 26? So don't, I mean, don't jump. I you know what? I would take him on my team as a Redskin fan. I'll tell you that. So a lot of people are down on Matt Ryan right now. Don't jump off the, you know, stay on the bandwagon if you're a Lions fan. Stay, don't completely jump off the bandwagon. And to me, Matt Ryan is not the issue with the Atlanta Falcons. The issue is their defense. That's the issue. I mean, how many yards did the Chicago Bears have total? Chicago almost had 400 yards of total offense, had over 350 yards of total offense. Jay Cutler threw 300. Forte ran for about 70. The issue is the Atlanta defense, not their offense. Their offense will be fine. And then, of course, you have Chicago at New Orleans, which all of a sudden has a little juice to it, because you have a New Orleans team coming who is going to be chomping at the bit, coming off that bitter loss to the Packers on opening night, versus a Chicago team that all of a sudden has a little pep in his step coming off a big win versus Atlanta. Tough spot for the Bears. Tough spot to go into New Orleans. Their home opener, that's one of the toughest places to play in, you know, in all of football. Should be a decent game, but I'll be very interested to see, you know, can the Bears handle a little prosperity? A little prosperity. Djokovic has held. He has sustained that break. He's up 3-love. He's only up one break now. Keep that in mind. He's up one break in the final set. Nadal has to win this game to stay in this match. Djokovic has found some life. So keep your eyes, keep your eyes on that. This, Nadal, as we know, will not go quiet. He will not go quiet. New England is still up 14-7. And Negan against Miami. A couple of NFL injuries, a big one for Kansas City. They lose their star safety, Eric Berry, for the season. That is a catastrophic loss. Team's not that good anyway. And to lose arguably your best defensive player certainly cannot help them. Kansas City is going to have one of those. They could be in for, they might be in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes as well. They could be in for a long, long season. Did not look good yesterday. Of course, I've already mentioned Nate Kading is out for the season with the ACL. That is a big loss for a team in San Diego that plays close games. You know, San Diego may dominate you on the field, on the line of scrimmage, but they're going to play in a lot of close games. And, you know, now they're going to have to go and try to find a kicker. Good luck with that. Of course, we began with Dallas and the Jets that get the game of the week. Dallas falling apart in the fourth quarter and losing 27-24. Nick Folk, who was formerly a Cowboy, kicks a 50-yard field goal. And this, to me, was all about the Cowboys, just doing what the Cowboys do. I mean, they fall apart late. They fall apart in the second half of seasons, in December and November. They fall apart in fourth quarters. Tony Romo, I would love to see his career quarterback rating in the first three quarters as comparisons to his career quarterback rating in the fourth quarter. I would love to see that, because he was awful in the fourth quarter. His decision making was brutal on the fumble where he decided to try to run. I don't know. Did Tony Romo think he was Jamie Foxx from Any Given Sunday? I got a sense that he thought that he could score in that play. All of a sudden, he saw some, like, then you see three Jets just close up that hole and shut the door just within like 2 seconds. And he fumbles the ball. Jets get the ball back and keeps the Cowboys from extending the lead to possibly 14 points, definitely 10 at the worst. So, and he, of course, had the awful interception to Darrelle Revis. Keep in mind, and, this is Romo having to do a better job at understanding his personnel. At that point in the game, he tries to throw that pass to Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant had no legs. And the Jets called a break with that. Dez Bryant could not run in the second half. He had cramped up during halftime, and he couldn't run. So that pass play, that play had no chance. None. I mean, how do you make that throw? 24-24, how do you make that throw if you're Tony Romo? That's going to wrap it up on this latest edition of the NFL Show Season 2 premiere. We will be back next week as we look back at Week 2. We also will be back with the Redskins post-game show. So my fans for Redskins, keep up with that as well. So long. Have a great evening.